Welcome to the Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast series. Central Scholarship is a Baltimore-based nonprofit that awards $1 million annually in scholarships and interest-free loans to students in Maryland, and they've been doing this since 1924. The organization also believes that education is a right and not a privilege. In part one of a two-part podcast series, Scott Rogeville, an officer at Gorfine, Schiller & Garden, is speaking with Jan Wagner, president of Central Scholarship, and Michelle Waxman-Johnson, vice president at Central Scholarship, about the student debt crisis, federal student loans, private student loans, and much more. And with that, we'll hand it over to Scott.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the introduction. So I have the privilege today of spending a little bit of time with one of my favorite clients, and I don't say that about everybody. But joining up me today is, as Matt pointed out, Jan Wagner and Michelle Johnson from Central Scholarship. And before we kind of get started on some of the meat of what's going on, I was hoping that, Jan, you might be able to give us a couple minutes on how Central Scholarship functions and what purpose you serve within the process.
Thank you, Scott. I'd love to. So we are all about helping students, and these would be students who come from low-income families, all about helping them move up the economic ladder through education. So we will help fund anything after high school, from a certificate to be a truck driver, an HVAC technician, to a two-year degree, four-year degree, or graduate degree. We're all privately funded, and many of our programs, the eligibility for many of our programs is driven by our donors' wishes. So in addition to that, in recent years, we've added a couple of other programs. One is our college cash program. We're increasingly concerned about the cost of college, the cost of higher education in general. And it's just we want to help students understand exactly what they're signing on for. And we know that how much you borrow is that students and families should consider how much they are borrowing and what that is going to get them at the end should they complete. And of course, completion is extremely important. So we're providing information through our college cash program so they know how much they borrow, what they can expect to make in loan payments, what they can expect to earn depending on what they are studying, and see if it makes sense for them. And then in addition to that, we have a public policy program that is led by Michelle. And in recent times, we have been the advocates for eliminating a practice called scholarship award displacement, where colleges and universities, so they offer a student money, the student accepts, and then the student still has a gap. They find us, we give them money to fill that gap. And until a couple of years ago in Maryland, it was legally okay for the university to withdraw what they had promised to that student. And that practice is called scholarship award displacement. So we've been doing advocacy work around that. We just want to make sure that we're protecting the investment made by our donors who are interested in helping the individual student and also making sure that the impact of our aid is what it needs to be. And do you want to add anything else, Michelle?
Just a very brief statement that Maryland was the first state in the nation to address this issue in a legislative kind of way. And as of now, Maryland is the only state students' private scholarships who are attending public universities are protected.
Great. Thank you both for a little bit of education, but we're on the subject of education. And I know our listeners would like to get into sort of the hearing what you have to say relative to fact or fiction. You know, is there really a student debt crisis? And statistically, how do we know it? Can we prove that, Jan?
We sure can. 45 million Americans have borrowed $1.7 trillion and counting in student loans. And it now exceeds credit card debt and debt from automobile loans. In the class of 2018, 69% of college students borrowed, with average debt at graduation close to $30,000 in both federal and private student loans. Additionally, parents are borrowing. 14% of the parents of these college students borrowed an average of $36,000 in federal Parent PLUS loans. Now, Maryland is a very generous state when it comes to higher education. So Maryland ranks 30th among all states, with the average student debt nearing $28,000, which is below the national average of $30,000. And 54% of college graduates in Maryland have student loan debt. The average monthly student loan payment is $400. From mid-2014 to mid-2016, nearly 4 million undergraduates with federal student loan debt dropped out without completing their degree. This is probably the area that concerns us the most. Their default rate is 3 times higher than students who graduated because they have debt and no credential. And then the fastest growing group of borrowers are age 60 and over, and they owe $86 billion in student loan debt. And these are parents and grandparents who are borrowing to help out their kids. And the average debt is $34,000.
Wow. So basically, I'm looking at making a monthly payment for a nice car and still need a car. So
yes.
With that in mind, Michelle, maybe you could kind of help me sort of do some planning. What strategies can help make college more affordable for me and for my family?
So first, complete the FAFSA for each child each year. And it is your gateway to all financial aid from the federal government, from the state of Maryland, from the college or university, and your gateway to private financial aid. Plan ahead and talk with your kids. Know what you can afford. Our family was in the Maryland 529, and it worked out very, very well for us. And it cost way less than paying back student loans after the fact. Finish in 4 years. The cost of additional years is very, very high. As Jan said, Maryland is a very generous state, and students who leave the state are walking away from a lot of money. So stay in state and get state aid at not only public universities in Maryland, but also private universities. Additionally, there are legislative scholarships awarded by each state senator and each state delegate. And if a student is in a district with one senator and up to 3 delegates, they can apply to all 4 of their elected officials. Not all districts have 3 delegates, though. Read your financial aid award letter closely and know the difference between a loan that must be repaid and a grant or a scholarship that is gift aid. Avoid parent loans if at all possible. And it's not always possible, but if at all possible, avoid parent loans. Claim federal education tax credits. Use your college financial aid office as a resource. They know a lot. And finally, beware of scholarship award displacement. And if a student receives a private scholarship, they must be vigilant that their institution does not reduce their institutional scholarship as a result.
Great. So Jan, borrowing's good, but how can I possibly attend college for free?
Well, there is a free college movement in this country, and there are now more than 300 Promise programs in the U.S., including the new Maryland Community College Promise, which provides for eligible students, provides free community college tuition at all Maryland community colleges. In addition to that, there are some county-based free college programs. There's one in Baltimore City. And Coppin State University offers free tuition for eligible students who graduate from Baltimore City Community College. Berea College in Kentucky has a no tuition promise if you can gain admission, and it's worth $176,000 over 4 years. It offers students work experience, a paid internship, affordable study abroad, and a free laptop. New York University School of Medicine now offers a full tuition scholarships to all current and future students, regardless of merit or financial need. Other medical schools have followed suit with free tuition, though limited to a number of students, and we expect that that will continue as they compete for the best medical students. The state of New York offers the Excelsior Scholarship, a 4-year tuition scholarship for students from qualified families earning up to $125,000 per year. Students receive a full tuition scholarship to any New York City or state university or college. And the other option, which is not always attractive to every family, but if you can and you consider living at home, you will save more than half the cost of attendance if you can commute to school and go full time.
Awesome. So if one of the free options is not for me, either because I want to go direct to a 4-year school or there's not a Promise program in my area, and I start to look at student loans, tell me about the process. How do I go about getting federal student loans?
Okay, well, Michelle mentioned this before. The gateway to all financial aid comes by completing the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, as it's commonly referred to. Your college will then send you a financial aid offer, which will likely include a mix of grants and federal student loans. You'll be given instructions on how to accept the loans. If you accept, you will take entrance counseling, sign a promissory note, and you will pay origination fees that are a percentage of the total amount you borrow, currently ranging from 1% to 4.25%.
Are there different types of federal student loans available?
There are. So direct subsidized loans are, they're the best. So they are available to undergraduates with financial need. Interest, which is currently roughly 4.5%, is paid by the government while you are in school, as opposed to direct unsubsidized loans, which are not based strictly on financial need. Interest is the same, roughly 4.5%, but it begins to accrue as soon as you accept the loan. Direct unsubsidized loans are also available for graduate or professional studies at a current interest rate of a little over 6%. There are direct plus loans for graduate or professional students and parents of dependent undergraduates to help pay for education expenses remaining after all other financial aid. Eligibility is not based on financial need. However, a credit check is required. Some borrowers may need to meet additional requirements to qualify, and the current interest rate is a little over 7%.
And Michelle, maybe you can help me to understand what is different about federal student loans.
Sure, Scott. First, they are offered by the federal government. There are limits on how much can be borrowed, either yearly or in the aggregate, which are tied to a complex federal formula, and there is typically a loan fee. The interest rate is fixed, and it may or may not be lower than private interest loan rates. And federal interest rates typically change annually with the Treasury rate. Sometimes the government will pay the interest while you are in school. Most do not require a credit check or a cosigner, though Direct Plus is the exception. There are various repayment options. For some loans, repayment does not begin until you graduate, leave school, or become a part-time student. And finally, federal student loans offer protections and opportunities such as income-based repayment, forgiveness, postponed repayment, and consolidation that may not be offered by private loans.
So I know from my own personal experience that federal student loans aren't always available up to the amount that you need. And sometimes you have to go beyond that and look at other financing options, things like private student loans or interest-free student loans. What exactly is a private student loan?
So private student loans are loans from any other lender other than the federal government. Unlike federal loans, the rates and terms of private loans are not regulated and vary. Sometimes the terms are better than federal loans, but often they are not. Typically, a private student loan should be your funding source of last resort after federal grants and loans, state and institutional scholarships, and family support, with one exception, which is the interest-free loan that we offer and some other nonprofits at Central Scholarship.
And how do I go about getting one of these private student loans?
Many financial institutions offer private student loans, banks, credit unions, et cetera. Some colleges offer private student loans, some states do. And then, of course, you have certain nonprofits such as Central Scholarship offering a private student loan. In Maryland, there are 8 credit unions that offer private student loans, and a list can be found at studentchoice.org. 18 states offer student loan programs, though Maryland is not one of these states, and these are considered private loans. And private is anything other than the federal government. Many colleges offer their own private student loans in their financial aid packages, and students and parents who are not reading closely may easily miss the details.
I always find that when I look at it from a business perspective, I go out and I contact 3 or 4 banks, and they tell me what their offerings are. In the case of student loans, how do I compare one option versus another option? What am I looking for?
There is a great tool to compare private loans on edvisors.com. That's edvisors.com.
Can you give that email address to us again, Jan?
I can. It's edvisors.com, capital edvisors.com.
And so you mentioned earlier, Jan and Michelle, both of you, interest-free student loans. And I know that Central Scholarship offers those, but how do I go about getting one?
So they're available on our website, www.central-scholarship.org. And For Maryland undergraduate, graduate, and professional students who meet our guidelines, they can go to our website and apply during our application period, which begins on January 1st. There's something unique about the interest-free loan that I just want to make sure that listeners understand, which is that with an interest-free loan, you repay exactly the amount that you borrow. There is no interest charge and typically no fees either. And of course, this is very, very unique from federal loan program and other private loans.
This is a wrap for part one of a two-part podcast series where Scott Rogeville, an officer at Gore, Fine, Schiller & Garden, interviewed Jan Wagner, president of Central Scholarship, and Michelle Waxman Johnson, vice president at Central Scholarship, about a wide range of student loan topics. And stay tuned for part two, where the team will discuss federal and private loan repayment options, refinancing, as well as state and local and employer-based programs.